everybody, this is Radio Looks Lucid. I'm your host, Steve Matthews. This is episode 110, the Biden border rush update. So, yeah, thanks for joining me here this evening. I wanted to get a quick show out here this evening. I know it's getting kind of late again, as it always does, and I always say I'm going to do this earlier, and here it is, you know, it's like quarter after 11 at night. So, anyway, thanks for joining me. I hope you all have had a good week, and, you know, we actually had this really weird phenomenon here the last few days. We actually had this weird yellow ball in the sky, and it was light out, and you could actually see things, you know. I think the entire month of January, I mean, I think we had nothing but overcast weather the whole time, which is actually pretty typical here in Cincinnati this time of year. It's just nothing but overcast and gray. Had a fair amount of rain, just a little taste of snow, but not that much. Some cold weather, but again, not that much. It hasn't been a super cold winter or anything like that this year, but it's just been very gray, and it's really nice to see the sun out, see some blue skies. So I've enjoyed that the last few days. Saw an article in the paper today. They talked about spring training for Major League Baseball. That starts in 3 weeks from today, so I'm pretty excited about that. Get to see my Reds back in action here sometime reasonably soon. So that'll be nice. And let's see, what else? I don't know. There's not really a whole lot else going on here at this end. I did want to say one thing. You know, I just finished up this week. We were doing a Bible study. We were studying the book of Jude, of all things. And it's actually been a Bible study. It's a men's Bible study. I've had a chance to lead at church here for almost a year now, and, you know, that's been one of the best things that I've done in a really long time. It's the first time I've actually had an opportunity to do some live in-person teaching, and probably over 15 years, so that's been a long time, and, yeah, it's been really a blessing. It's been one of the most sanctifying things that I've done. When you have to prepare for a Bible study, you have to really dig into the scriptures a bit. You can't just read through things and be satisfied just with talking and sort of vague generalities. And yeah, so it's forced me to dig into the scriptures, and we did. We finished up the book of Jude here this week, and I'm going to be starting on Daniel next week, and probably spend some time in Daniel, and Lord willing, maybe sometime later this year, depending on how things go, I hope to be able to next do the book of Revelation. And I'm excited about doing that, and it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I'd like to be able to do it as a using the historicist approach. Now, you know, so what's historicism? Well, historicism, basically, it's the idea that Revelation covers the from the time that John wrote it in the first century, the Apostle John wrote it, through the end of the world, through the second coming of Christ, as opposed to a lot of the other types of eschatology. Eschatology is the idea of the study of end times, if you're not familiar with that word. A lot of the other eschatology systems that have been put into place, say, over the last 100 years, don't do that. The historicist system is a system that really, it's sometimes also known as the Protestant system of prophetic interpretation. And it's been all but abandoned in the last 100 to 125 years, but it was from the time of the Reformation up through the end of the 19th century, it was the standard approach that was used in Protestant churches. It was actually codified into the Westminster Confession as well. The Westminster Confession historically has been a historicist document that was edited in 1902, and then the new edition that came out in 1903 removed the historicist references. And I'm really excited to be able to do that. And Lord willing, we'll get a chance to go through Revelation on using historicism as the system of reading Revelation. And I really think that it's the only system that makes sense out of Revelation. And it's really interesting, too. So, you know, perhaps that's something I would, maybe we can do some podcasting on and talk a little bit more about that as time permits. You know, I've even kicked around doing a YouTube channel, maybe based on just some of the lessons that I teach for the Bible study. You know, I've already worked up the material. I'd love to do more YouTubing, but I haven't done much with it over the last number of years, mainly because you just can't say anything on there. I mean, the things that I like to talk about, you know, you're probably going to get zapped. So I've just really kind of given up even trying. And I think if you're doing a Bible study, that's probably fairly safe for YouTube, I would think. We'll see. But maybe that's something that I could do here sometime, maybe this year, as time permits. So Lord willing, we'll hopefully that'll happen. We'll see. So anyway, I had a program here tonight. I don't want to have a real long program, but I did at least want to touch on a few things for you. And, you know, what we have here is just a continuation of sort of some of the nonsense, the immigration nonsense that's been going on for a long time in the United States since the Biden regime's been in charge. And I wanted to call to your attention just, well, this is something that, let's take a look here. I think we're going to do maybe do a little screen share here. And let's try this. Yeah, here's a story. In fact, this is one I think I published on my blog this past week. And what it does, it's a video. You know, that screen share is actually not great because I've got this in portrait mode. And maybe we'll shut off the screen share. Yeah, we'll just do that. I think that's probably a little bit easier to do. So anyway, the story here is a headline. This is actually out of the Daily Caller, and it says, "Exclusive video appears to show migrants tucked away in hidden room under military guard at major U.S. airport." And you read down into this, and it was actually something that occurred at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Now, as you may know, the Atlanta airport's one of the busiest airports in the United States. I don't know where it ranks as a number one or two or three or something like that, but it's a very busy airport, very major airport, gets all kinds of traffic. And apparently there's a Georgia state senator went in found, I don't know the backstory, and I don't know how he was made aware that this was there, but this Georgia state senator's name's Colton Moore, who's vice chairman of the Georgia Freedom Caucus, took a video Tuesday night and told the Daily Caller that he learned of a hidden room full of migrants through a whistleblower at Atlanta's airport, who noticed an influx of illegal migrants coming through the facility in recent months. In the video, so I guess that's how he found out about it, but it says, in the video, there appeared to be a uniformed soldier guarding a room full of migrants and volunteers with a group called Team Libertad, which boasts of helping migrants travel on its social media accounts. "We're all getting them flights to where they need to be," the man who identified himself as a volunteer from Team Libertad said in the video. "These are just recently documented travelers getting released from ICE and getting to where they need to be. There's people that they get dropped off here from ICE detention with no help," the man added. So, you know, what this group is doing apparently is keeping people at the Atlanta airport, and then they're putting them on airplanes and flying them hither and yon, maybe to a community near you. And we've seen how airports have become hubs of illegal immigration, hubs for transporting illegal aliens. There was a lot of video that was taken at the Phoenix airport back around Christmas time of these huge lines of illegal aliens being put on airplanes. And, you know, you've seen some other videos. I posted something on my blog, and I believe I covered it in a podcast a few weeks ago. There was some video of the O'Hare Airport in Chicago. It's been turned into a migrant flop house. And that's going on also. What was another airport? It was Logan Airport in Boston. Well, they were doing the same thing. And, yeah, who knows? I mean, I suspect there's probably this stuff is going in other airports as well. I think it's reasonable to assume that that's the case, although I haven't necessarily seen stories on that. But I'm sure that those are not the only airports where this is going on. So we know here that apparently this stuff is going on at the Atlanta airport as well. Again, that shouldn't surprise us. Here's another. This is a bit of a follow-up story. You know, I did posted a story a couple weeks back on the city of Denver. The city of Denver has become apparently it's a sanctuary city, and it's become a major hub for illegal aliens, attracting illegal aliens. And this is a headline. This is on from CNN. And it says, Denver nears its breaking point as migrants and the cold pile in. And just reading a little bit of that article, it says, this is what an overwhelmed city can look like. A preschooler sleeping under a bridge for a month. Crowds lining up each night to get food and shelter. And the mayor calling out for help. And when that city is Denver in the winter and the overnight temperatures sink below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, the problems are life-threatening. Our city is really struggling, Mayor Mike Johnson told CNN after he visited families in a makeshift encampment, a sign of the unfolding emergency triggered by the mass arrival of people from outside the city. This is both a humanitarian crisis for the individuals that are arriving, and it's a fiscal crisis for the cities that are serving. Those two crises are coming together to a head right now. Well, okay, yeah, and those crises are coming to a head because of your policies, Mayor Johnson. Those two crises are coming to a head because of the policies of the Biden regime, the Biden border rush. This is all artificially constructed. It's a social construct. Yeah, borrow some of the language from all the lefties. They like to talk about social constructs. Well, this is a social construct by people who are trying to destroy the United States of America via illegal immigration. This is a policy. You know, when you read, you know, I think it's always interesting when you read guys like Mayor Johnson, they make it sound like, well, this is just some natural disaster. You know, like, I don't know, like you get a hurricane, it goes ripping through Florida, or you get some terrible earthquake or a wildfire or a tornado that you know, tears up a small town, something like this. It's a natural phenomenon, you know, that it's not anything that could be helped. You know, it's just, you know, these things happen and we don't know why they happen. They just happen and there's no particular cause. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense. This is the result of deliberate policy decisions that are made in the first place by the Biden regime, but secondly, by various governors and mayors and other politicians that encourage this type of thing. Remember back in 2020 when during the Democrat primaries, and this was early on in the primary season, and I think Savannah Guthrie was the person who was moderating this debate. And there were a lot of Democrat candidates at the time. I don't know how many there were, maybe I want to say 8 or 10 on stage, something like this. And they were all standing up there, and toward the end of the debate, she asked a question, I'm paraphrased, but it went something like this. You know, how many of you would include I don't remember what word she did, you know, migrants or illegal. I don't think she used the term illegal aliens, but she was talking about people who came into the country illegally. That was the thrust of her question. How many of you, she's talking to the candidates, would include these people in your healthcare plan? And every single hand went up. Everybody raised their hand, all of these candidates. None of them turned it down. So, I mean, that's a great big signal to the world to saying, y'all come on up here and you can violate American immigration law. And when you do, we're not actually saying you violate immigration law, but if you happen to violate American immigration law, and it's actually a felony to come into the United States illegally against our immigration laws, but if you happen to get in, you're going to win fabulous cash and prizes. And guess what? The world says, I'll take you up on that deal. Yeah, there's a big surprise. You know, when you invite people and you say, come here and we'll shower you with fabulous cash and prizes, don't be surprised when people show up. And then, of course, that was the intention. I mean, they were signaling this. They were telling people, come on up here and we're going to take care of you. You know, we're going to put you on the American taxpayer's dime. We're going to feed you. We're going to house you. We're going to do everything we can to make sure you get in here, because what we want to do is we want, among other things, we want to build a permanent Democrat majority in the country. I mean, that's what this is. This is a sort of irredentism, which is an immigration policy of the Roman Catholic Church. That's what they're trying to do. The Democrats are doing it is not surprising, because the Democrat Party is essentially the political arm of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. That is not to say that the Republicans are not also heavily influenced by Rome, because they are. But the principal tool of the Roman Catholic Church in American politics has been the Democrat Party. That's the principal channel by which they have influenced policy. And they've done so for a long time. You know, I've written some about the saying, Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion. And, you know, most people have no idea what that's referring to. You know, I remember I used to think, well, you know, that's a that's had something to do with something a long time ago. And until I started studying the influence of Rome in American politics, the Roman Catholic Church, that is. And I went and I found out that it was from a speech by a Presbyterian minister and Union Civil War vet in 1884. His name was Samuel D. Burchard. And when he was talking about Romanism and rebellion, he was talking about the Democrats. He said there it was the party whose antecedents have been Romanism and rebellion. So the close association between the Democrats and the Roman Catholic Church goes back well over a century. And again, that's not saying that the Rome does not have significant influence with the Republicans. It does. But that has been an especially tight long-term historic relationship. And you're seeing it right now. I mean, you have a Roman Catholic president who is enacting the Vatican's immigration policy. What he's doing, he's enacting the very policies that both the Vatican and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have pushed for a very, very long time. And that's really the way you have to understand the Biden border rush. It's the Pope's immigration policy in action. You know, I mean, you know, the popes over the years have written substantially, significantly on immigration. They have developed that theory. And the Biden regime's practice of immigration is the practice of the papal theory, the Roman Catholic theory of welfare migration, of irredentism. And you're seeing this all over the country. That's what's going on. And I talk about this a lot, not because the Roman Catholic Church is the only organization that's pushing illegal immigration. It's not. You can find, there's some stuff out this past week is very interesting on a group called the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. And also Jewish Family Services that have been doing a great deal to import illegal aliens into the United States. So there are Jewish organizations that do this. There are corrupt liberal Protestant, so-called Protestant or evangelical organizations that do this. I had a friend send me an article a week or two back on the evangelical immigration table. And I haven't written about the evangelical immigration table for a while. I probably should write about them more, but I haven't. But that is a group that's it's associated closely with the Southern Baptists and Russell Moore. And a lot of the evangelical immigration table, some of the funding has actually come from George Soros, for example. So you've got these Soros evangelicals out there that are essentially preaching the same false immigration gospel that the Roman Catholic Church does. It's actually kind of interesting when you read the evangelical immigration table. It's, you know, what they do, it's just a slightly modified version of the kind of immigration socialism that Rome's been pushing for decades. It's just, you know, they get rid of all the references to Mary and some of the specific Roman Catholic stuff, but essentially it's the Roman Catholic immigration doctrine translated into evangelicalese, if you will. And that's what the evangelical immigration table pushes. So yeah, you've got corrupt Protestant groups that also echo the same ideas that Rome does. But I focus on Rome because Rome is really the center of this. They have the most extensively publicly developed theory about immigration. As I said, many popes have written about this. There are many position papers that have been written by Roman Catholics. Probably the most significant one, at least as far as the United States specifically is concerned. It's called Strangers No Longer. It was a paper that was written by a joint effort by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Mexican Conference of Catholic Bishops. It was published back in 2003. And I've talked about it some on this program. I know I've written some about it. And Lord willing, I hope to be able to do a little bit deeper dive maybe this Reformation Day, if I'm able to do a Reformation Day talk for the Trinity Foundation again. I hope to be able to talk some in depth about that because it's really something that needs to be exposed. And I've talked about it on this program before, and I'll just mention it again because I think that it's one of the really significant documents undergirding the current practice of the Biden regime. And so that, you know, this is, goes back to something that, you know, John Robbins used to talk about. You know, he always used to talk about the fact that that theory always precedes practice. You know, anytime you and I do something, it's always based upon some prior theory, some prior idea that we have in our minds. So, I mean, Rome first set forth the theory, set forth the ideas, and then it set about bringing those into actual practice. And you're really seeing that full bore with the Biden presidency. So, yeah, so, I mean, this is where you get these headlines where it talks about Denver near its breaking point as migrants in the cold pile in. And again, they try to portray it in this article as like, well, this is just some natural phenomenon. No, it isn't. This is the result of policy. This is a result of deliberate decisions that are made by people in power. In the case of the Biden regime, it's the case, number one, to do a stand down. And this is a very common practice, Roman Catholic political practice, is just a stand down when they say, okay, we're just not going to enforce American immigration law. We're going to stand down, and then we're going to invite all these people in and give them billions of dollars. You know, there have been some studies done. There was a study released by Congress last year, and I've seen various numbers. I think the most conservative number I saw was like that this illegal immigration, all these illegal aliens coming in, that they cost the American taxpayer at minimum like $145 billion. And I've seen figures up to $400 billion from some credible sources. So let's just say this without arguing too much over numbers. Let's just say it's a big number. It's a lot of money. It's a shocking amount more money probably than you and I would like to even think about. That's being paid out to these illegal aliens by our government. And, you know, this, and there doesn't seem to really be any end in sight to it. I mean, they just want to keep pushing this. So anyway, this Mayor Johnson, I mean, he lies just like so many other people. And just, again, you know, he's attempting to pretend as if somehow this is a natural phenomenon. And by golly, we just have to find a way to manage it. No, you have to find a way to stop it. And it's actually very simple. This is very easy to stop. It's just a matter of just reversing the policies of inviting the entire world in and putting them on the dole. That's actually really not difficult to do. The fact is that they don't want to do it. This is the policy. And it cannot be emphasized enough. What you're seeing going on right now and what's been going on for the last 3 years under Joe Biden is the policy. Massive, massive numbers of people coming into the nation. We don't even know who a lot of these people are, being put on the dole, being flown hither and yon. And that is the policy. It's not an accident. It's not a natural phenomenon. That is the policy. I know I keep saying this, but I don't think I can say it enough, because when you read the news, like this CNN article, like this tool of a mayor out in Denver, you would never know that, you know, because they do everything they can to try to cover that up. They don't want you to know that. Let's see here. Here's another story. This is one was from actually from the New York Post. And this came out, this is just dated yesterday. This is Friday, February the 2nd. And it says here, it's got a headline. It says, NYC, so New York City, NYC launches $53 million program to hand out prepaid credit cards to migrant families. And let's read through this here. And it says, Mayor Eric Adams' administration will soon start handing out prepaid credit cards to migrant families being put up in Big Apple hotels, the Post has learned. The $53 million pilot program run by the New Jersey company Mobility Capital Finance will provide asylum seekers. These aren't asylum seekers. These are welfare migrants. That's all they are. It's nonsense. This stuff about asylum is nonsense. But they call them asylum seekers here in this particular story. So we'll provide asylum seekers arriving in the Roosevelt Hotel with the city cash to help buy food, according to city records. So if you subsidize something, this is one of the most basic principles in politics. If you subsidize something, you're going to get more of it. When you hand out, you know, $1,000 a month gift cards to illegal aliens, people who shouldn't even be in the country, they're not asylum seekers. These are illegal aliens. They're here. They are welfare migrants. They're not here because of persecution. They're here to get free stuff. That's why they're here. And they've been invited in by the Biden regime, by the city, county, and state of New York. And now they're being given free stuff. And it's not entirely clear to me in reading this article who's paying for this. I would assume this is some kind of taxpayer-funded thing. It ultimately would have to. I mean, where's that money coming from? So on that assumption that it's something that's taxpayer-funded, so I don't know. I mean, is it New York City being funding this thing? Is the state kicking in money? Is the federal government kicking money? I don't know. But ultimately, I have no doubt it's the taxpayers that are being stuck with the bill in some way or another. It says it'll start, that is the program, it'll start with a group of 500 migrant families in short-term hotel stays, and will replace the current food service offered there, according to City Hall. The cards can only be used at bodegas, grocery stores, supermarkets, and convenience stores, and migrants must sign an affidavit swearing they will only spend the funds on food and baby supplies, or they would be kicked out of the program. Yes, because you can always trust the word of people who come crashing into the United States in complete disregard for immigration laws. Yeah, these are the most trustworthy people there are. Yeah, they would never, you know, sell these things on the black market for cash and then use that cash to go out and buy, you know, who knows, drugs, alcohol, whatever. That would never happen. I'm sure that wouldn't happen in this case. And I think it must just be my cynical nature that would make me say something like that. So anyway, yeah, that's some of the nonsense that's going on in New York City. And again, you know, I think the thing that's so interesting, and this is also the case with Mayor Eric Adams in New York, is that, you know, he's complained many, many times about, you know, New York's on the breaking point. Oh, you know, all these terrible things are going to happen. But you notice he never, at least in my anything I've ever read, he never says, we need to stop the border chaos. We need to shut the valve off. You know, it's, you know, think about, like, if you walked into, say, your kitchen and the sink's overflowing, and there's water going everywhere. You know, what's the first thing you do? You don't get the mop out. The first thing you do is you shut the faucet off. You got to shut it off at the source. And then you can deal with the water. Then you can get the mop out. Then you can mop up the floor. Then you can drain the water out of the sink. But first you have to shut the source off. And none of these people ever say that. Note that very, very well. You know, all these governors, all these mayors that are out there crying, oh, you know, we don't know what to do with all of these people. Oh, please make it stop. You know, the mayor of Chicago has said things like that. The governor of Illinois has said things like that. He's begged Texas, you know, please don't send us any more migrants. But he has never, none of these people have ever said, stop the border nonsense. None of these people have ever demanded that the Biden regime actually enforce American immigration law. None of them do that because none of them want that. This is the policy. It's the deliberate policy of the Biden regime and the Democrat Party to do this. And I even think there are an awful lot of Republicans that are on board with it. I really do, because there are very few Republicans that are actually even trying to do anything effective about this. You know, I have to give some credit to Greg Abbott. I think that he has made some attempts to do some things on the border. And, you know, he has prevented the federal government from coming in and tearing up some of the border protections that have been put in place by the state of Texas. So, I mean, I'm glad for that. You know, I don't really terribly trust Greg Abbott a whole lot. But, you know, I think he has done some good things. And so let's give him credit for some of the good things that he has done, even if I think it could probably be he could do a lot more, in my opinion. But he has done some good things, so we can be thankful for that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, you know, Boston. You know, there was an article, and again, this is something that I posted on my blog a little while back, just talking about the what was going on at Logan Airport. And here's a headline. Now, this is from Fox News, and says, Boston residents rage after governor closes community rec center to house migrants. They don't care about us. And if you read the article, it says Massachusetts residents are none too happy about Democratic Governor Mara Healey's decision to temporarily close a Boston neighborhood's community recreation center to shelter migrants. They don't care about us. They only care about their agenda and their political careers at our expense. Sean Nelson, a former city council candidate, said Thursday on Fox and Friends First. Well, Sean Nelson's exactly right about that. That is true. That's a true statement. And it goes on here. The Melnia Cass Recreation Center in Roxbury reportedly offered a skating rink and places to exercise, providing a safe space for the community's youth to fraternize. Without it, parents are concerned young people may find themselves in trouble instead. Healy's office said Wednesday that the decision was just born out of necessity as the migrant crisis continues to overwhelm other state facilities, including Logan Airport, according to WHDH in Boston. We just have to do what we have to do at this time, she added. So they just have to do what they have to do. Yeah, and again, notice here, there's no call for the Biden regime to stop flooding the United States of America with illegal aliens. There's no call. It's just, we just have to do this. It's just this tidal wave of migrants, and we can't possibly do anything about it. You know, I mean, that's, again, what they want you to believe. And that's a complete lie. I mean, just the level of dishonesty and gaslighting out of these people is truly astounding. Nelson, I guess this is Sean Nelson, that continues. He says, Nelson, outraged by the ongoing crisis, captured footage of himself confronting Healy in Boston on Wednesday, asking her why she believes taking resources from Massachusetts citizens is acceptable while urging for migrant deportations to take place. Quote, you serve us, not these illegals, unquote, he said. Healy replied with, quote, we need a housing bill passed, end quote. Nelson called the response a lame excuse. Yes, it is a lame excuse. That is definitely true. And of course, it's interesting too. Mara Healey, she's a good Roman Catholic, and so she's doing her best to continue to carry out Rome's immigration policies, Rome's policies of flooding the nation with illegal aliens. I found an article this past week. This is actually an article that was written in October. But it was featured on X, and this is from America Magazine, the Jesuit Review. So this is an American Jesuit publication. It's dated October 27th, 2023, and the headline reads, New Head of Catholic Charities Continues Its Humanitarian Mission at the Border and Around the United States. Well, no, Catholic Charities does not continue a humanitarian mission. What it does is it continues a mission of subverting the United States of America. And one of the ways it does that is it aids in the flooding of the United States with illegal aliens. And on top of that, it gets paid to do so. Catholic Charities receives a tremendous amount of funding, taxpayer funding from the U.S. government, U.S. federal government, to subvert the United States with illegal aliens. That's what they do. And what's interesting here is if you read down through this article, that let's see if I can find it here. This is a question that was put to the new director of Catholic Charities. Immigration has become a divisive issue even within the Catholic Church, where some express indifference, even hostility to the plight of migrating people. How do you try to address those attitudes and the disinformation that's generated around immigration? And her answer is, all my life I've tried to help the Church reduce the chasms that sometimes exist between people, and especially fellow Catholics. And they have a strong admiration for the Big Ten understanding of the Church, but also the conviction we're called around one Eucharistic table. So she continues with that, and she says, let's see, there was something that she talked in here. She says, Catholic Charities is not a political entity, it's a humanitarian entity. No, it's a very political entity. And, you know, I've covered in this space here where it talks, where some of the activities, some of the really treasonous activities of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley is just one of a number of Roman Catholic organizations on the border that do everything in their power, again, to subvert American immigration law. And they call this humanitarianism. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is they never express any humanitarian concern for the American citizens who are being stuck with the bill and all of the problems that are being created by their humanitarian activities. You know, they like to posit themselves as humanitarians. Well, you know what? Americans are human too. But Catholic Charities doesn't care about those humans. Now, they only care about people who are here to break American immigration law. They care very deeply about them because that is in their interest to do so. So, I mean, that's, you know, in good Jesuit fashion, I mean, this article goes on and on. Here it is. This is what I wanted to show you here. This is a question that's put to the new director. Catholic Charities USA offices have been accused of human trafficking, which they engage in, while other critics claim that immigration is somehow a moneymaker for Catholic Charities, which it is. Some members of Congress have even threatened to investigate agencies like Catholic Charities that serve immigrants and refugees. They serve illegal aliens is what they do, and mostly frauds. And I'm glad that these members of Congress have done this. And we've talked about this. I've written some about that as well. I know one of those members is Chip Roy of Texas, and there are a few others who actually have told Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley to keep the records because they would like to investigate them. And as I've read, and I need to follow up on this, but the last I checked on this, these congressmen were saying that, you know, they were just getting the runaround and getting stonewalled by Catholic Charities. You know, there's a big shock there. Yeah, I would never have expected that. But anyway, here's the question continues. How do you plan to deal with people who've become so suspicious of this humanitarian work? Well, again, it's not humanitarian work. It's treasonous work. And there's every reason to be suspicious of Catholic Charities, especially Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, but Catholic Charities generally, because they serve to, the work they do subverts the United States of America. And they do it on American taxpayer dollars on top of all that. So her response is, these criticisms come from a very small group of House members, just a few people who either do not understand or for some reason intentionally misrepresent the work of that faith-based organizations like Catholic Charities do to support migrants and other vulnerable people. But I think most members of Congress support the work we are doing and understand that our agencies work extremely closely with federal, state, and local governments. Well, I do think a lot of members of Congress understand, support the work that Catholic Charities is doing because they want the country flooded with people who will vote for them. You know, they want all these illegal aliens to come in to become citizens, to vote in elections, and make sure that they stay in power forever. So, yeah, I mean, they do understand this. And, yes, the agencies do work closely with federal, state, and local governments. They do that. That's actually a true statement. They shouldn't be. You know, something about the separation of church and state, I believe, in the Constitution. But, you know, somehow that is ignored. So, yeah, we'll have to do more on Catholic Charities and the way they get money. But here's actually a story, and I wanted to kind of follow this up. This is, again, from the New York Post. It says, government using charities to hide just how much money is going to illegal immigration. And it actually talks about that here. Let's see if I can find the... here we go. It says, after crossing and surrendering to U.S. border agents, many migrants are directed to Catholic Charities, which provides them with hotel rooms, meals, and clothing, and sometimes pays for the bus or plane tickets to their chosen destinations. Sister Norma Pimentel, executive director of Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, explains that the mission is merely to give a cup of water in Jesus' name. And who can argue with that, it says. Except that the money isn't coming from the Sunday school collection basket, Sister Pimentel admits, her organization is reimbursed by the federal government. It's coming from taxpayers who have no clue they're supporting this operation. Yeah, so, you know, when we're told to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, see, here's the distinction between Christian biblical charity and the kind of socialist charity, quote, charity, that the Roman Catholic Church practices and wants you to believe is legitimate Christian charity, which it isn't. And that is, Christian charity is always giving of your own things, your own time, your own money, your own goods, this type of thing, voluntarily. But when you have what you have with Catholic Charities is they are sort of the middleman. The U.S. government forcibly extracts tax money out of U.S. taxpayers at the barrel of a gun, gives some of that to Catholic Charities, and then Catholic Charities gives that to these illegal aliens which it invites in. And then they try to posit themselves, oh, well, look at us. Why, we're just giving a cup of cold water to poor people in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. It's a complete scam. And it's one of the, and it's right out there and it's right in front of people's faces. And yet, very few people actually comment on it. It's actually quite remarkable here that the New York Post actually does some good journalism here. I'm glad to see them doing that. You know, here's it's got a picture. You can't see this here, but there's a picture of some kids that are close to drowning trying to cross the Rio Grande Valley. And these are people who are encouraged to take these, to do this kind of stuff by, among other organizations, Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. And I think it's one of the saddest things, one of the things that makes me the angriest, is I'll see these Catholic organizations, for instance, like the Archdiocese of El Paso. It's headed up by this guy, Bishop Mark Seitz. And he likes to go out there and shed these crocodile tears about all these migrants who've died in trying to come to the United States. And, you know, oh, it's just so sad. And they'll have this own special mass, you know, to celebrate, or maybe that's not the right word. I don't know. But to commemorate, perhaps, you know, all of these people who have died horrible deaths in the desert or drowning in the Rio Grande or these types of things. Well, you know, the blood of those people, in part, is on the hands of Mark Seitz and others in the Roman Catholic Church who encourage this stuff. Their deaths are, at least in part, on the hands of those people, including Norma Pimentel. It's incredibly evil what they do, and yet very few people actually call them out for this. And again, that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast, because I think it's important that somebody point this out. And of course, it shouldn't surprise anyone that this kind of thing goes on, because of course you're dealing, you know, as we've talked about, you're dealing with the system of Antichrist. You know, I talked before about hoping, you know, Lord willing, I'd like to teach a course on Revelation using the historicist system, the Protestant system of prophetic interpretation. Well, one of the, you know, you say, well, okay, so what's historicism about? Well, you know, one of the distinguishing features of the Protestant school of prophetic interpretation is the identity of Antichrist, which is the office of the papacy. And so you're dealing, when you're talking about the Roman Catholic Church, you're dealing with the office, you're dealing with an Antichrist organization. And this is the kind of fruit, these are the kinds of things that you would expect out of an organization that serves Antichrist, that's headed by Antichrist. You know, they promote death, they promote welfareism, they promote socialism, they promote the destruction of the rule of law. And so, no, it's not surprising that they're doing these things. And once you understand who Antichrist is, when you see this kind of stuff going on, you're not surprised. But if you don't understand who Antichrist is, and you look at this immigration disaster, and you say, well, how can this going on? Who's driving all this? Well, I'm telling you, the biggest driver behind all of this is the Vatican. It's the popes of Rome. It's the system of Antichrist. It's Antichrist who's doing this stuff ultimately. That's what you're looking at. This is the fruit of it. You know, all of this social destruction, all of this death, all of the, you know, people dying from all of this fentanyl that's being imported. I mean, this is the work of the devil. This is satanic stuff. And it's being and it's being brought into our country. It's being channeled into our country by Antichrist. And it's very important that you understand that. And I can't emphasize that enough. This is going on here through this the New York Post article. It says, Catholic Charities and Care Center funded largely by government contracts, not private donation, their financial statements reveal. Governor Hochul, Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, supports both these organizations through her office for New Americans. And let's see what else it says here. On Tuesday, Mayor Eric Adams was bemoaning the surge of illegal migrants coming in into the homeless shelter system, but don't take Adams' protestation seriously. It's Democratic Party theatrics. So, yeah, you know, this is, again, you know, this is just the kind of stuff, this is the kind of system, this is the kind of tragedy that's produced by the system of Antichrist, by the theory and practice of Roman Catholic immigration. That's what's going on here. Here's just another in brief here. This is actually a post on X from Jesuit Refugee Services. It says, restrictive immigration and asylum policies result in higher risk of harm to people seeking safety. Well, they shouldn't be trying to do what they're doing in the first place. I mean, what they're doing, again, is they're violating American immigration law. Catholic border organizations and immigrant advocates express opposition to anti-immigration policy set forth by Governor Greg Abbott. You know, and it's a great big long whine by various people in the Roman Catholic Church. Again, this is put out by Jesuit Refugee Services. I don't know. Let's see if we can expand this a little bit. I don't know if there's anything interesting in here. But yeah, they're upset, you know, that Greg Abbott's put Texas National Guard in Shelby Park in Eagle Pass, Texas, and actually shut off the flow of new tools of the Roman Catholic Church. And so they cry their crocodile tears over that. So anyway, that's about all I had there. As I said, kind of a short program here tonight. Need to get wrapped up, get to bed. Wish all of you a blessed Lord's Day tomorrow. I got to get up for a Sunday church and all of that, so I don't want to be up here too late tonight. But yes, wish everybody a blessed Lord's Day tomorrow. And until next time we get together, Lord willing, hopefully that'll be in about another week. May the Spirit of Truth guide you and all as you read and study God's Word.